All right, folks, good evening, and welcome to a March edition of the Hoop Talks NBA podcast. I'm Mitch Robson alongside Sean Woodley. Sean, still riding high off the Rams win over the Brock Badgers last night. This is March.
It is March now, technically. The game took place in February. How pumped are you? That must have been a pretty crazy one. I know it's been a strange season for Ryerson where like it was never really totally certain that you guys were going to make the final eight, but you're there now. Must have been a good time. Mm-hmm.
Never in doubt, obviously. no, it's been good to see because I think the last 2 years things have gone so kind of right for them in the regular seasons where they've gotten one seeds and they haven't really had any major injuries or anything. But this year, first semester was tough. Manny DeRisa was out for a long period of time. A bunch of guys in the rotation, Adam Wolf, Phil Vujadinovic, all missed time as well with some nagging stuff. So it's kind of all coming together at the right time, and maybe this is the year where they come up kind of as the underdog for once and knock off Carleton when it actually matters. They'll be playing this Saturday for the OUA title, but yeah. That's just that's child's play at this
They're
point.
They're not going to beat Carleton. I'm sorry. They're just not.
Okay, so McGill will beat Carleton in the semi.
No.
Right?
I mean, no, right? Probably not. both Carleton teams working on undefeated seasons right now, which is pretty nuts. Yeah. Carleton visits McMaster for a game I will be attending on Saturday. That should be a good time.
So are you gonna go full rogue on PA? In the
I was telling the bosses that like, yeah, sorry for how like sad I'm gonna be whenever Max scores a basket on Saturday already. they're like, we're gonna have to like make you take your sweater off when you get here and make sure you're not wearing Carleton stuff underneath.
Without a doubt.
So, and like every time like Hillary Haneke scores, it'll be like, Hillary Haneke, 4-3.
Yeah, and then, Carlton scores, you're going to jump up on the table, John Wall style.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It should be a fun game, though. The women's game last night was freaking bonkers. So hopefully we get a.
Check it out.
Yeah. Go to OUA games. It's very good. Like, I watched Carleton sparingly when I was there. Like they were just kind of happening. They didn't really promote games very well, but like it definitely is very obvious that the level of coaching and the level of talent in the OUA is like significantly better than it was even like 5 years ago. And I know Roy Rana was talking about that last night. It's very cool. There's lots of like actually good teams and good players to watch.
Yeah, I almost think that because Carleton's been so successful that kind of the students there almost take it for granted. And that's why you don't see maybe massive student turnouts like you have now at Ryerson, Brock, Ottawa, kind of those schools. So I think hopefully this year, maybe some, and as much as it hurts you, I think Carleton maybe losing one of these championships would be better for the game as a whole.
Well, I'm pretty sure Carleton's playing at MAC this year for the OUA title in the women's side just because they had to institute a rule in which they rotate back and forth which conference hosts the final, because I think Carleton was hosting it every year, which seems unfair, I guess, but maybe it's totally fair considering it's the best goddamn basketball program in the world.
Speaking of unfair,
I had a much better one geared up, and
okay, well, go ahead.
Well, I was just gonna say the Carltons of the world have definitely raised the level of like the level of play around the OUA, and even like the bad teams have kind of started to get their act together. You can't say that about the Warriors in the NBA though. Because there are like 9 teams vying for last overall in the NBA, and we're going to talk about those teams today and the tankathon race.
Always thrilling when you get to
weather. You didn't critique my segue there.
It was pretty good because the one I had was going to be much more hacky and cheesy. So we'll just
First rule of podcasting: you have to comment on the segue after you make a smooth segue. So
always let the people know how great you are at your job.
Or express surprise when you don't suck ass at your job. Either way.
Well, yeah, I was going to say, fighting off lingering doubt about yourself, a podcasting staple. this year's tank is pretty deep, and it seems like, what was the stat I saw the other day where it was about 5 or 6 NBA teams had a combined, like, 38-game losing streak going? Like, it is just unprecedented levels of difference between the teams at the top and the bottom of the league.
Yeah, so the contenders right now for last overall and the slightly altered lottery odds. So We'll talk about the Knicks. Their Knicks are creeping up very quickly. They've lost 9 of their last 10. They're just completely terrible without Kristaps, understandably. But they might have won too many games early in the season to really be part of this tankathon. So we'll get to the Knicks later. But the Chicago Bulls are 20-41 with a negative 6.3 point differential. They're 2-8 in their last 10. The Nets are 20-42, 1-9 in their last 10, a minus 4.1 point differential. The Mavs are 19-43, a red hot 3-7 in their last 10. The Hawks also 19-43, they're 4-6 in their last 10. They're just carving up opposing defenses right now. The Phoenix Suns are 19-44. They have a league worst negative 8.6 point differential. They're 1-9 in their last 10. The Memphis Grizzlies are 18-42 and have lost 11 straight. The Magic just lost to the Raptors last night. They've lost 7 straight. They're 18-43, and they are tied with the Sacramento Kings, who are 18-43 as well, and 2-8 in their last 10. This is some like apocalyptic shit at the bottom of these bottom of the league right now. And it's honestly kind of making it hard to watch regular games because, like, I don't know, a third of all games features one of these teams, which is it's pretty tough if you're just like, "All right, we're going to you know, fire up Raptors Magic tonight." It's pretty tough knowing the outcome. Like, in the middle of the third quarter yesterday, it was, like, tied. And I was like, there's no way the Raptors don't win this game by double digits. The Magic are shit, and they're trying to lose. As are, like, all of these teams. And they've all tried to lose in very different ways, and it's kind of great.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. Like, it seems like even just a couple years ago, you'd have some league pass nights where there were, like, 5-6 watchable games going on at any moment, and you'd have a tough time trying to stay around and tackle them all. But even like you said, when the score's tied with some of these teams at the bottom, you kind of know the outcome, and is it even worth flipping the channel or making the change? Not really. So I find myself now, which is probably almost better for my own kind of viewing habits and getting to learn about some teams and watch the game and actually really watch stuff, is only focusing in on one or two games a night.
Yeah, that's
I guess for a viewer, makes it better because you can kind of get more in depth into stuff. But as a fan of like whipping around in like a red zone kind of person, it's not so good.
Yeah, I've always kind of preferred the one or two games strategy anyway. But some of these teams, like, I'm just not tuning in to watch Tyler Kavanaugh and Isaiah Taylor play for the Hawks, or Andrew White, who is a two way guy who's playing a lot of minutes for them. Like, it, I just can't myself to do it.
I think the Hawks are probably the most boring, even if they're not the actual worst, because there's, like, no one in that arena, and it's just a bunch of G League guys up for any given game. But I think if we're going straight up worst team in the league, it has to be the Suns, no?
Well, I don't know. Like, so they have the worst...
I feel like the Suns have lost by 50 more than anyone
That's
else.
That's true. Maybe more than anyone else this decade in one season. But so the thing with the Suns is, like, Josh Jackson's actually doing things right now. He might be... of all of these teams, the guy that you most want to tune in to watch right now, like, as an individual player. And that's kind of cool. Like, he's, like, I think he's, like, 16-5-3 or something over the last 2 months, which is pretty cool. It's nice that he's actually putting it together and that people can shut up about the, "Oh, Jason Tatum was such a steal, blah, 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 blah." Like, he's been excellent for the last little while. Yes, he's playing on a team that is just god-awful. It's also weird that they're so bad with Josh Jackson and also Devin Booker being pretty good. It's weird that they are this bad.
Is Devin Booker actually that good?
Oh, God. I am so tired of Devin Booker conversations. It's the worst. The Grizzlies, I think, might be the most depressing of all these teams because they had far higher ambitions coming into the season. Would you agree?
Yeah, and I mean, I read that piece about Marc Gasol kind of languishing on this team and how sad it is, like, the state of affairs of Memphis basketball when he was kind of the face of that grit and grind.
Maybe don't be a coach-killing asshole, Marc Gasol.
Sure. I mean, you can put it that way. It's really sad that Fizz is gone and not coaching in the league right now because of that situation. But yeah, I mean, and now they've even benched Tyreek, who was having a fun year. So, and Chandler Parsons is just, like, I think the worst contract in the history of sports.
Him or Joakim Noah?
It's very close. Yeah. It's a 1A, 1B
situation.
Did
Noah end up getting bought out by the Knicks?
No, he is being paid to stay the hell away.
Yeah, so, like, of all these teams, okay, so the Kings, I think they're kind of interesting because they, like, I'm trying to think of which team is actively trying to lose the most, and it's hard to argue that it's not the Kings when they just played Bruno Caboclo for, like, 17 minutes earlier this week against the Wolves. It was really fun. Don't get me wrong, seeing Bruno, like, go up against Karl Towns in the post and kind of get manhandled was cool. He had an offensive rebound and a dunk, which was nice. But, like, it's hard to really say that, like, oh, you're not going out of your way to suck by playing Bruno Caboclo, who had, I believe now, I think it was Matt Shantz from Raptors Republic who tweeted, now Bruno's played like 16% of his career minutes with the Kings.
I honestly thought it would be more than that.
It will be soon.
Like a 20-minute run.
Yeah, it'll be very soon.
Yeah, I mean, I also like the Kings have a lot of guys that were good in college.
Yeah.
So I think that also just for the casual fan kind of leads to them tuning in more because they know who these guys are playing, like Frank Mason, Justin Jackson. And then you've got, like, Vince is still out there playing. So to a casual fan, they're at least entertaining. And being one of those teams that gets that Pacific time zone, I think we see them more just on TV a little bit. But I don't mind tuning in for the Kings. They got a nice aesthetic. I
mean, those broadcast is those decent. City jerseys in the court are pretty dope. I gotta say.
Yeah, and now at least from a Canadian perspective, you're gonna tune in to see if Bruno can make anything of his career.
Yeah,
so that's definitely a draw.
The Hawks. I think the Magic are probably in there too. Is like the least desirable teams to watch. Yeah.
I try to avoid a Magic game at all costs.
Yeah, last night it was pretty brutal. They're so bad.
They're so boring. They're so bad. It's just, like, the lights are dull in there, and, like, Vucci Main doesn't really do it for me. Evan Fournier is the same. Jonathan Simmons is not a Spur anymore, so he's just a dude. Like,
I think you could argue that the Magic of all these teams have, like, the best roster and maybe don't belong in this conversation just based, like, all of their players are, like, kind of good, right? Like, they don't fit at all, and they don't work together as a team, but, like, Jonathan Simmons is pretty good, and Evan Fournier is... like useful on some level in the NBA. Like Gucci Mane's pretty good, and like Mario Hezonja's doing shit now, which is kind of fun. But like like it just doesn't fit, and they don't seem to have any sort of idea what they're doing coaching wise. Shouts to Frank Vogel. But yeah, it's they are the team that I think just based on the roster and like disregarding injuries, because obviously the Grizzlies shouldn't be here if healthy. But like based on the roster, I think the Magic belong the least. But they're still maybe like the least interesting to watch. Like they're all just like, what's your favorite team of these to watch?
That's really tough. I think just with the Magic for one more thing, I think it's really interesting to see now, because I remember when Frank Vogel was with those Indiana Pacer teams, people were talking about him as the next like face of coaching in the league and how smart he was. And it's kind of like, obviously you're a little bit handicapped with that Orlando roster and the imbalance of kind of guys, the way they fit together. But the fact he's been able to do absolutely nothing with that group, like not even get them to a 35 win, even like a ninth seed fight in the East. I think that says something about Vogel.
Yeah. It's not even like a team either. Like, with those old Sixers teams, like, those tanking-ass Sixers teams, like, there were moments where their defense looked kind of good. And you could say, like, okay, there's no talent here, but hey, at least they know how to play defense. They have a good scheme. The Magic don't have anything. Like, they haven't been coached into having any sort of specialty. They're just kind of this, like, identity-less blob of a team that is incredibly boring to watch. I think maybe the Bulls are the most exciting, just because, like, Lauri Markkanen's fun. Chris Dunn's doing some cool stuff.
I really like the Nets, too.
I don't. Okay.
Really?
The Nets are not interesting to watch.
You're out on the Nets?
Yeah.
I really like... I like watching D'Angelo Russell play.
It's like the most... like, the most NBA Twitter take of the season is, hey, the Nets are kind of fun. They're shit, and they don't have any good players that I want to watch. Like, they're all bad.
You don't like D'Angelo
He's
Russell?
He's fine. Like, it's...
If you're arguing Bulls versus Nets, though, I think, like, besides Lauri Markkanen... what are you really getting there?
Oh, Zach LaVine dunks now. Those are cool.
Like, I mean, okay.
Sometimes they wear their...
I'll give you Zach LaVine.
Yeah, like the best thing... if the best thing about your team is your broadcast, then I don't think I want to watch you.
I love Spencer Dinwiddie.
He's fine. He's not good. He's fine. Everyone's like, oh yeah, Spencer Dinwiddie's good now. And no, he's just like the best player on the... like Michael Carter Williams looked good at one point.
I like watching Alan Crabb shoot the basketball. That's a fun thing to watch. Joe Harris is great. Caris LeVert,
36% of Alan Crabb's threes. Yeah, those are fun.
Quincy Acey bodied a guy the other day. I like Jared Allen's afro. I will not agree with your take that the Nets aren't as fun as
Jared
the
Allen is.
They're just a bunch of
Jared
dudes.
Allen's the only likable player on that team. He's fun.
Well, that's a hot.
He's very
take.
Fun. He's very explosive. I like Jared Allen. Other than that, like. Isaiah Whitehead, nope, not for me. Quincy Acey, nope, he's bad. Caris LeVert, He's another one. This is the very NBA Twitter team where it's like, oh man, I'm on these guys before they win 34 games. It's exhausting. They're not good at all.
I can't believe I've sided with NBA Twitter on something. I feel dirty.
You should feel dirty.
I feel greasy. I feel
disgusting. Yeah. Also disgusting are the Dallas Mavericks. I guess they are. I mean, they're disgusting on many levels, but. I guess
I love the thing about that new president that Cuban brought in to clean house, saying she'd never heard of the Dallas Mavericks before they called.
Yeah,
him.
That was like, certainly.
I couldn't tell if that was hyperbolic or true, yeah. But like really good.
Yeah. They're the kind of team, like Dirk's been talking about this, and they're the kind of team that's foregoing the traditional sort of mode of tanking where. Like, most teams that are tanking, they'll just play all their young guys and sort of, you know, go under the guise of development, and when really it's just, like, design tanking. The Mavs are just playing all their old dudes and are still sucking ass, which is great. Like, I feel bad for Dirk, but Dirk can barely move anymore, so if you play Dirk a lot of minutes, you're going to lose basketball games. Wes Matthews isn't very useful anymore, and, like, Dennis Smith Jr. is really the only young guy who's playing a ton of minutes there, and that's great. But I just kind of like that they're going about it differently, where they're still, like, trying to tell themselves, like, yeah, we're going to play our vets and do this honorably, when really it's just, like, again, trying to disguise your tanking as something more honorable, which is definitely not.
Yeah, and I mean, they do that, and then most of the nights I've watched some of their fourth quarters, they're pulling those guys, and, like, they're starting, it's like Maxi Kleber's out there for the fourth quarter in crunch time. Matt Devlin's favorite NBA name.
Maxi Kleber.
Kleba. He's out there with Farrell and Dennis Smith, and it's just a bunch of names.
Have you watched, like, many of these games with all these bad teams? Like, I honestly can't remember the last time I watched a game featuring any of these teams, aside from the Magic last night.
No, I've become a bad kind of NBA fan in a way, just because it's like the end of the college basketball season where I'm watching these games over a bad NBA game.
You know what?
Like, it's not... I'd rather watch something where two teams are playing for either a spot in the tournament or something than, like, Magic Nets on a Tuesday night.
Yeah, I am, this might be a hot take, but watching games isn't actually useful this time of year. Every team, we know exactly what they are. I don't think you're learning anything. I think the whole, it feels like there's, like, a culture out there of, like, oh, if you don't watch 10 games a night, then you aren't qualified to talk on this stuff. And, you know, fuck that. I don't need to watch the Atlanta Hawks to know that the Atlanta Hawks suck ass and that I don't want to watch the Atlanta Hawks.
I agree. It's almost at that point of the year where, like, if you're tanking, teams should just stop playing for March because I'm checking out anyways and I'm not going to be watching, so why bother playing these games that have no
meaning? And this is a weird year, though, where, like, the Western Conference playoff race is actually compelling. So, like, a game like last night, the Pelican-Spurs game, like, I'm all in on that. I'll watch that. It's fun. This might be an outsider, like an outlier year where, like, the games in March actually matter. Whereas, like, most years, by this time of the season, we know exactly what the playoffs are going to look like. You know, what teams are going to be in wise. Maybe the seeding's not really set, but we know that there's 8 teams in each conference that are making it. And we know what, like, kind of the tiers of those teams, and we know how those teams play. Like, teams aren't busting out new stuff in the playbook at this time of year. And even I'm having that problem with, like, watching the Raptors is, like, I find myself zoning out because I'm not learning anything new. And I'm just like, all right, they're struggling now. The bench is going to come in. The bench is going to explode, and they're going to be amazing. And then, like, the Raptors are going to win this game. And, like, it's great. I love it as a Raptors fan, and I don't want to take this for granted. But it is kind of hard to sort of get yourself up to watch these games because you know everything about these teams at this point, and it's just kind of, like, biding time until the playoffs.
Oh, totally. And I was looking at the playoff matchups the other day, and we've had such a down stretch for Eastern Conference playoffs, but the matchups we have right now, if it were to start today, are so juicy that, like, I think the Eastern Conference playoffs could rival the West in terms of not maybe quality, but, like, entertainment value.
Right.
So, yeah, I mean, we're here to talk about tanking as we've gotten to playoff teams. Obviously, we're staying on track, but yeah, I mean... It's just, it's hard for me to get fired up about teams that are losing games. I mean, it'd probably be a lot different if the Raptors were one of these teams trying to crap out for a top pick. But we've been there, done that many years, and I'm very happy to be rid of that and not just watching knowing it's an inevitable, like, trudgery to the end.
Fuck, I do not miss that at all.
at like, all. Just like, for any team that says blow it up, no, you won't miss playoffs. Yeah. I can guarantee you that. I hate the arrogance of writers that say
that. Yeah, it's very bad. And like a lot of these teams, the Kings, the Magic, the Suns, like blowing it up hasn't necessarily worked. And
it's still ground
the
zero.
Knicks have been, like, the Knicks have been blown up for years now, and it's not working for them either. Like, it's very hard to become the Sixers. That's a very rare case among these teams that totally blow it up and tank. So yeah, shouts to playoffs. Let's talk about the Knicks for a sec. So they're 24-38. They're three games back of the Bulls in the loss column, and that's the eighth worst team in the league right now. They are five or six games back of the Suns, who have the most losses in the league right now. My thing about the Knicks is that I kind of want them to be the team that ends up winning the lottery, because I think
it'd be great.
Yeah, like, I like when the Knicks are good. Early this season, when they were a competent team, it was really fun. There was that game against the Raptors where they scored like a 28-0 run in the third quarter, and it was amazing. Mm-hmm. I, like, as much as it sucked as a Raptors fan, obviously it was one loss out of 17 they've had all season, and it's not really relevant at this point. But like, as it was happening, I was like, damn, this is kind of cool. Like, the garden is pumping, and this team is like a real basketball team that can actually play basketball together and has like competent NBA players, and not Travis Ware or whoever the hell was on that really bad like 15-win team a couple years ago.
Oh god, that.
Yeah. So like, it's kind of fun that like I would like the Knicks to fall, like, because I mean, they are well on track to potentially end up in this mix. Although 24 wins might be more than any of these teams ends up getting. The Bulls and Nets right now are at 20 wins. And like, I wouldn't be shocked if they go like 4-16 in the next 20 games to close the season, both of those teams, and end up with 24 wins at most. Like, I don't think the Kings or Magic or Grizzlies are getting to 24 wins. They're at 18 right now. But there's a chance for the Knicks to kind of slide in here to like maybe the fifth spot, perhaps. And I'm here for that. I think they are the team out of all these teams, if we're talking about, like, we can sort of go pare it down to the group of eight after we talk about the Knicks, but would you agree that the Knicks are the most desirable team right now in terms of who we'd like to see win the lottery?
Oh, yeah. Totally. I think that them finally getting, like, a top five lottery pick where you're going to be getting a sure thing who's going to come in and make an impact right away would be really nice for them, especially for Kristaps coming back whenever that does happen. And like you said, the garden pumping is one of the best atmospheres in sports, and I think that even though it's going to be tough for like a Memphis or one of those teams to get to 24 wins, especially in the West, the Knicks have really stopped. Like, Courtney Lee's not playing anymore. Like, they've taken out the few remaining competent two-way players that they did have in the rotation. Mm-hmm. So, like, I think you just let Beasley cook now for a month and a half at 40 minutes a night and just don't play defense and see what happens.
So I'm looking at the lottery odds right now. And right now the Magic and Kings are tied for the highest odds. And it's really great because Orlando, with the worst record in the league, has a better shot at finishing fourth than any other spot in the draft lottery. They're 39.7% chance of being the fourth overall pick, 22.5 in first, 20.3 second, and 17.5 in third, which is fantastic. It's beautiful. Here's the thing, is I don't really want to watch Orlando or Sacramento fuck up another high pick. Like,
yeah, it's happened so many times in the past. Like, why do we keep?
They're definitely going to pick the shittiest of all the draft prospects and screw up their development, and we'll be back right where we began. So like, I'm cool just suppressing them forever because they're terrible. What about Memphis? Would you like to see Memphis win it? No,
I'm sorry. I'm all in on Memphis moving at this point. Like, the ownership, I don't know. I haven't really like gone back into what their ownership situation is right now. I know Para was fighting with the other guys, but like, I think you have to wipe the slate completely clean and deal Gasol now. If this is what you want to do and you want to get rid of everybody else, you can't just have him there on a team that is really such a mishmash of dudes of different ages. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't really know what their plan is. No rookie going there with a top three pick is gonna be that sexy kind of situation that you could get in a New York or maybe Chicago. So I'd much rather see them win. I'd rather see it. I hope it goes to either the Bulls or the Knicks.
Fair enough. Oh, the Bulls, I don't know. The Bulls got Derrick Rose. That's like, and they've had their fun. I don't know if I want to see the Bulls jump up again and win it.
I think I have big market.
That's
bias.
Fair. And I probably do too. Yeah, Orlando, Sacramento are very undesirable. So before we get into the rest of these teams and how desirable they are to win, who is going to be the number one pick? You're a draft guy, a college basketball guy. I don't know shit about the draft. Luka Doncic is a guy I know. DeAndre Ayton is a guy I know. And Marvin Bagley? Is that also?
Bagley's kind of slid a little bit. Now most of the guys are talking about him in a 5 or 5 to 7 spot, which I think could actually be a steal for him. So if you're able to, like, that Nets pick running around 5 to 7, Marvin Bagley would be an ideal kind of guy to go with LeBron if he were to stay. But, I'm going to be honest, I don't watch EuroLeague, so, like, I haven't seen Doncic play, and I can't read another Kevin O'Connor article about how great he already is. So, I mean, I'm going to see what happens. Like, it's obviously impressive that he's averaging 19-10 or whatever.
Yeah, he's, like, owning this.
Against grown men.
He's owning the EuroLeague as, like, an 18-year-old, which is pretty cool. I gotta say.
But Ayton, like, this dude is more chiseled than Dwight Howard was at his age, and he never lifted a weight in his life till he got to Arizona this year. And, like, he's averaging 20-10, and he shoots the three around 38%. So, like, I think you can't pass him up, because even though he's not exactly the same kind of player as Embiid, like, not passing and dribbling skill that Embiid has, it's, like, a 7-footer who can be a game-changer and play both ways.
That's kind of the dream at this point if you're a bad team. So if we're going by DeAndre Ayton, if we're assuming he's going to be the guy, who would you most like to see get him? You mentioned Chicago. Brooklyn, the pick goes to Cleveland, and fuck that. Atlanta, Dallas, Phoenix. Like, none of these teams are all that sexy in terms of, like, it'd be much more fun if, like, Utah or the Clippers won the lottery from the very bottom.
That would be great. No, if you were to give me a Knicks lineup of Ayton and Porzingis in the front court, and then...
Yo, I'm not here for Porzingis not playing center, so give me Doncic on that team with Frankie Smokes and Kristaps, and we'll have Team International.
Don't you throw my guy Moutier out the window like that.
He's bad at basketball, Mitch.
Well, Luka Doncic is too. We haven't seen anything.
Maybe we've seen more
Barcelona, whatever.
Yeah.
Fran Fraschilla.
No, but give me Doncic, who I believe is like 6'8". So
I think he's 6'4".
I think he's like 6'8".
Right? Is he magic sized?
Luka Doncic height. This is good ass podcasting.
If he's that big, that kind of
Luka Doncic everything. Is 1.98 meters, which I don't know what that means. Draft Express, 6'7". He's 6'8". Per Draft Express, he's 6'8". So he's like a 6'8" point guard. I don't know, buddy.
I mean, I guess he's Ben Simmons with a jump shot.
Yeah, and
speed.
Yeah, and probably better ligaments and stuff. yeah, but, like, none of these teams are sexy. Like, Phoenix has screwed up enough picks. Dallas?
No.
Atlanta won't do anything with it. It'll still be boring as hell. Like, I just want the Knicks to win the draft lottery. All these teams are undesirable.
Yeah, and I mean, because the Lakers aren't going to be in there. They don't get the, or will they have?
They lose their pick, I believe, to Boston. If it's if it's number one, it goes to the Sixers. If it's 2 or 3, it goes to the Lakers. And then if it's
otherwise, they
I
keep
believe
it,
it's
right?
protected 2 to 6. No, and then it goes to the Sixers if it's out of the top three. Okay, yeah. So 1 is Sixers, 2 or 3 to I think 5 or 6 is Celtics, and then after that. So
the Lakers are 11th in the West right now, so the Sixers are going to get that pick.
Yeah,
right?
Thank God. Really. Unless they're the second lottery team and get, like, the second, because they pick at each pick, right? So they could move up for the second pick, like, in theory.
If the Sixers were to get another one of these dudes in the top 7 or 8, or if they somehow won the lottery and got a dude in the top overall spot, or even top, that is incredibly intriguing, especially with the LeBron rumors.
Oh, the LeBron rumors. Yeah. Well, the whole thing before the Lakers started winning some games here, like, they were very much in, like, the, oh, they could easily get the number one pick. And, like, having the Sixers get another number one pick, I don't think is fair. Because fuck the process and everything it stands for. It's terrible. And Sixers fans are obnoxious and awful, and I don't want them to have any more nice things. They have enough nice things. Joel Embiid is a very nice consolation prize for selling your souls for 5 years. You don't need to get any more. So, if the Yeah, if the Sixers get like the 10th or 11th pick with the Lakers, that's fine with me. I'm cool with that. But yeah, none of these teams are interesting to me. As like Memphis is probably the team for me.
That's so sad.
I know. I would say I would say Brooklyn, but I don't want the Cavs to get the number one pick again because
was Memphis's highest ever pick Pau Gasol? Since they moved to Memphis, like besides the Vancouver days.
Must be. Memphis Grizzlies draft history.
Or it could have been Stromile Swift.
He was with the Vancouver, wasn't he?
Was that the last year of Vancouver, or was that the first year in Memphis?
Let's see here. Great, Memphis Grizzlies draft picks, which is always a sad page to go to, because you look at their second rounders, and their first rounders in the last 10 years have been awful as well.
Big country, baby.
Hashim Thabeet was their highest pick at number two.
Oh, Steve Francis and Mike Bibby.
Yeah, Steve Francis was two, Bibby two.
Stromile
Sharif
Swift,
was
yeah.
three.
So,
they picked two a lot, so they're due for a number one pick. But are. Really, has anyone ever done worse with number two overall picks than the Memphis Grizzlies? Hashim Thabeet. I mean, Mike Bibby was good. Steve Francis was good for a time.
Didn't go.
And then Stromile Swift. Ugh.
That's, yeah.
Not the best.
And their other top five picks, Sharif Abdur-Rahim, legit all-star, yep. But Antonio Daniels, just role yep. guy, Drew Gooden, role player, Mike Conley, and then they had Kevin Love but traded him to Minnesota,
right.
So that was, but other than that, they have not picked in the top 10 since Hashim Thabeet.
Their ownership is so weird, man. I don't want them to win, but like they're the team I'd like to most win out of this. I don't want to see Dallas have anything nice after all that shit that came out last week. Fuck that.
Yeah, well, and just Cuban.
Yeah,
arrogant,
yeah.
So.
But
the Kings, I hate Vivek.
Honestly,
all of these, the four bottom of the West right now might be the four most annoying owners in the NBA. Like Sarver's a dickhead.
Orlando's owner is literally a fucking Trump stooge.
Yeah, the Grizzlies mess. You got Vivek, who's just not smart and still thinks he works for the Warriors.
Cuban,
yeah, and then. Atlanta, I guess, would be the sympathetic team in terms of ownership love.
Yeah. Jesus Christ.
You know what? Maybe
I wonder if there's any. Wonder if there's any sort of correlation between being shitty and having a shit ass owner. Crazy.
Maybe 2018 is finally karma.
Yeah.
The year of karma. But if the Hawks get number one and take Doncic, they will average even less fans than they do this year. Just like play into your demographics, Hawks.
Yeah, let's. Yeah. I guess it might
like
be
Brian
the Bulls.
Colangelo trying to make the whole white team in 07.
Oh God. Yeah, I guess it might be the Bulls. If we're talking like the Bulls don't have a great chance, but they could slide down. Obviously, it's all so close.
Or maybe the Hornets will win it from like the 13 spot.
That would suck. I don't want the Hornets to do well. They're boring as hell too. They deserve to suck. They've made terrible decisions.
But they have a nice uniform.
This is one of those years where there's not a team that I feel sympathetic towards who's in the lottery, really. Like, normally there's like, this team had bad injury luck and they slid down, or like this team had like lost a star player and they're going through some hard times. Like, no, all these teams, like, they've made their own beds and I don't really care for any of them.
Maybe it would be an incredible long shot, but if Detroit was to win and take Doncic, that could be fun. Doncic, Griffin, Drummond?
Yeah, the timeline is very out of whack there, but yeah.
Yeah, but, you know,
beggars
can't be choosers.
All we have to do is just hope the Knicks continue to slide, and they save us all by getting the top pick. It would be delightful. I would love it.
That's very, yeah, because the Knicks draft history is great.
They got Kristaps and Frankie Smokes.
Freeze the envelope, Patrick Ewing style.
Yeah. I have nothing else to talk about on this. All right. I think we've exhausted the topic pretty well, and I have to use the loo.
We've hit the doldrums of the NBA season.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, you know, maybe next week I'll join you from Halifax and we can talk NBA March Madness style somehow.
Wait, what?
I will be in Halifax for the U Sports National.
What does NBA March Madness style mean? What is that?
I don't know. I'm going to get us into the spirit of March Madness, but this is an NBA show. So.
Oh, we should definitely do some March Madness stuff in which I don't watch any of it, but talk about it with you on the podcast.
Sure. Yeah. Down for that.
I'm definitely not going to be watching any of it this year. It's great.
You're not going to watch any of the tournament.
I'm going to try not to. No.
You're going
to
watch Magic, Sixers.
No, I'll probably watch, I'd rather watch, a TV show or something. Wow. Blue Planet. It's real good.
All right, well.
The NCAA is nature. Bad, Mitch.
Oh, well, obviously.
It's extremely bad.
The NCAA is terrible, but the players are still likable.
Sure.
Incredibly
not
so.
Not as likable as OUA players, let me tell you.
If the OUA... I think, even though it would totally, not be beneficial to anyone, if the OUA... And, there's no money to do it. If U Sports could just do the whole country in a knockout-style tournament,
yeah.
It would be... Get a TV deal in there and just do it that way, but it'll never happen until, I'm running the networks in a couple
Poor
years.
Poor Algoma.
So.
God.
What are you doing this week? Anything
exciting? Lots of stuff. So Locked On Raptors, some good episodes out right now. You can check out the episode I did today with Vivek Jacob, just talking about the Magic game and previewing the Wizards. Tonight I'm doing a weird-ass podcast. It's going to be great. I can't really go further into it. When you turn the podcast on, you may be confused. Just let it go. It'll be fine.
How far along are we in the tournament?
So the Locked On Raptors trivia tournament, the Sweet 16 is set. I'm not sure I'm going to be able to do an episode this week just because I'm going to be at the Raptors game on Sunday, and I don't think I will have time, but the Sweet 16 will begin very soon. Also, Hoop Talks Trivia Night will be coming up a week from tonight, March 8th, at the Pint on 277 Front Street West. You can go to my pinned tweet, go to the link there, sign up your team of three, and you can sign up as a free agent as well if you don't have a team. It's going to be a great time, so please come out. It'll be awesome. It's usually pretty fun. Mitch has been there before. It's a great time. Tomorrow at morning, I'm recording a podcast with Glenn Grunwald for Locked On Raptors. So,
wow, look at you go.
Raptors GM Glenn Grunwald will be on the show, and you can listen to that tomorrow afternoon at some point as well. So,
I'm sure Glenn is rooting for the Knicks to get that number one
pick. Yeah, I'm sure he is.
Or maybe he's not, depending on...
We'll see. I'll ask him exactly that. Perfect. Maybe I won't. I don't know. Either way, this was fun, dude. I got to run to the washroom, so wrap this thing up.
Yeah, we'll flush this episode down the toilet. Thanks for tuning in to the Hoop Talks NBA show, guys. We'll catch up with you next week.